WBEZ is supported by RRF Foundation for Aging. Let's talk about ageism awareness. Did you know one of the many forms of ageism is internalized ageism? In fact, negative self-perceptions of aging decreases quality of life and can shorten our lifespan by more than 7 years. Let's recognize and call out ageism whenever and wherever it shows up. Check out rrf.org/news to learn more. That's rrf.org/news.
Federal funding was pulled this summer, and WBEZ is facing a $1.4 million shortfall. Your support makes a difference, enabling us to be fully financially strong, funded 100% by our community. From lead pipe investigations to reporting on ICE in Chicago neighborhoods, you ensure the city's journalism stays strong, independent, and growing. So step up now. Become a monthly donor at wbez.org/donate and keep Chicago's newsroom at full strength.
Hey, Chicago, I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is In the Loop. Coming up later on the pod, we'll give you a quick recap of the news of the day. But before we get to the conversation that you just clicked on, In the Loop producer Micah Yason joins me now in the studio, and Micah produced today's episode. Hey, Micah.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
You know what's still on my mind, Micah, is a conversation that we had on today's live broadcast. We uncovered some great reporting from our colleagues Adriana Cardona-Magigad and Lauren Fitzpatrick, in which they talked with former detainees of the Broadview ICE Processing Center, and they're describing what the conditions are like inside the building. You know, it's been a struggle to get inside and find out what's going on in there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, last time I was on the pod, we were talking about local organizations that were working with people who had been detained, who had been released.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now we're getting firsthand account from people who were detained, and they're describing, you know, having to sleep on crowded, cold floors and plastic chairs. And just one person said it was, quote, gross and extremely dirty.
Wow.
And toilets that are just out in the open. There's no toothpaste, no soap. And just more and more people are getting piled inside of this place that wasn't designed to hold people for so long and not so many people at the same time. It also dovetailed really well into a conversation I had on today's program with a 91-year-old nun. She has been part of this movement of protesting and holding prayer vigils outside of the Broadview facility for decades.
Right. Sister Joanne Persh from Sisters of Mercy has been doing this work for 19 years,
wow.
She told us. She'd organized these prayer vigils outside of the building with her partner, Sister Pat. One of the things that they wanted to do was actually get inside of the facility and help families and those being detained navigate the system and pray with them, of course.
Even back then,
even
almost 20 years ago.
And it was difficult even for them to get in as well.
As we watch these families being torn apart and started talking with them, we realized how traumatic it must be for those people inside being deported. So we went to the door and rang the bell and said, we would like to come in and meet with those being deported. And of course, we were told, no, you can't do that.
Wow, 91 years old. Can't believe it. Well, another way that Chicagoans are stepping up to support immigrants during this time of ICE raids and border patrol in the Chicago area is by tutoring English. So this episode that you just clicked on focuses on a group of tutors in McKinley Park who are stepping up to ensure that their neighbors know their rights and know the language. So let's get to the episode. All right. Thanks, Micah.
Thank you.
At the table, Pat Harley, an English tutor at Aquinas Literacy Center, Allison Altmaier, who's the executive director of the center, and Tom Dankers, who's a brand new tutor at Aquinas. I want to just start by talking about something I alluded to there. And it's this moment that we're in right now, because it is hard to talk about the immigrant experience without first acknowledging what is happening right here on our streets across the region. And just the climate today, right? ICE agents, arrests, deportations, a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear. And so I wonder if all of this has had an impact on your learners and even your tutors. I'd love to hear from all of you, but let's start with you, Allison. What are your thoughts?
Sure. I mean, right now we're in unprecedented times. There is an anti-immigrant climate. And what we've noticed at Aquinas Literacy Center, we've been in McKinley Park for 30 years, but things have changed. We notice heightened anxiety with our learners. Students are nervous about their future here in this country, their immigration status. And so for them, it's really important that if they're making the decision to learn English, that we're providing them with a volunteer tutor who not only is professional in teaching them English, but gives them stability, gives them that hospitality and welcoming, and accepting people as they are and how they come to us.
Yeah.
You know, we've experienced students not showing up for class, especially if there are reports of ICE agents in the area. And so trying to be understanding and compassionate and being in touch with our community and remaining a positive place where immigrants can come, they can be themselves, they can share their culture with us as they get acclimated to life in the United States, which is, you know, changing every day for them. That's as they move forward, and you know, they're coming in for really always the same goals, right? They want to become citizens. They want to help their children with homework. They want to get better employment. But with this heightened anxiety and just the negativity and anti-immigrant sentiment out there, that's changed. That has been a big change.
Yeah, you know, something that Allison says really strikes me, Peter, when she says that some of the students weren't even showing up to class.
Correct.
Out of fear. Tell me about that from your lens.
So I started tutoring at Aquinas in 2011, and that's how I met Allison, and we got married in 2019.
Oh, wow.
So it was more than just an opportunity
there's
to work there.
There's also a love story. Right,
there's a love story there. But when I started in 2011, it was, we had nonstop tutors, we had nonstop students coming in. We would have we would open up the Aquinas Literacy Center for evening classes. And then as time went on after COVID, things changed. And then the political climate changed. And then you see students kind of even expressing to me as their tutor, like, I'm a little afraid. I have to be careful when I go to work. And I have to be careful when I go home because I don't know what to expect. And some of them, you know, you see the fear in them. But we always try to make sure that they come in warmed, welcomed and hospitable. And I think Allison, myself, and the rest of the team really do that to, you know, to basically to everyone that walks through our doors.
Yeah.
So I love doing it and I love teaching. I'm a teacher by trade, by 13 years in New York City. So
okay.
I love.
So this comes naturally.
Yes, yeah. Really natural for me.
Tom, when you're thinking about this, because you're the newest to the class, congratulations.
Thank you.
You just graduated. What role do you think you play when it comes to supporting your immigrant neighbors and community?
My gosh, great question. So as a student at the University of Chicago, studying the sociology of knowledge, I'm always thinking about the centrality of language. And these folks that we get to spend time with, language is not you know, it's not the sixth or seventh language that they're learning for some sort of odd intellectual utility.
Mm-hmm.
They need it to thrive.
Yeah.
They need it to actually get through some of these tough situations they face on an everyday basis that many of us take for granted. And so every moment that we get with them, I think, is essential.
Give us the backstory, Allison, a bit more than what Peter shared about how this program began and how long it's been around.
Sure. Aquinas Literacy Center started back in 1996 in McKinley Park. It was started by a group of Catholic sisters, the Adrian Dominican Sisters, who were living in a convent. And on Saturday mornings, neighbors would come to a clothing closet. And as the neighbors would talk to the sisters, they said, "Sister, if you really want to help us, teach us English." And so the Adrian Dominican Sisters responded to that need, and that need has never changed in McKinley Park. Mm. And so that's why we're there. We're there. We've evolved over the years. But our core program has always been the same, the one-on-one tutoring. We offer some small group classes. We help English for U.S. citizenship. We have a resiliency program that's starting to really raise up the immigrant community.
Yeah. But in all those stages, those phases over the years, have you ever seen the level of fear that we're seeing today?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Tell us more, Peter, about the folks that you're serving and what you're hearing from them.
So, so it's very good question. It's really, it's interesting because they always say, we always do at the beginning of the year with all our students, what is their goal? And a lot of the goals, as Allison said, is to learn English, to be assimilated into an American culture, to help their children with homework, to go to the doctor by themselves without using a translator. And we try to foster that and try to help them with that and empower them to use their English. And there's a lot of there's just a lot of conversational parts of our lessons and our planning mm-hmm. that allows them to be confident and practice with them, so or with each student. So I've had students since 2011, and all of them have that same drive to learn English and that desire to help their families and become better people yeah. in the community.
So what does it take to be an English tutor, Tom? Did you have to go through this rigorous process to get accepted?
Speaking English fairly well is a good start.
That's number one.
No, actually, it's quite straightforward. And, you know, this is definitely a nod to the Aquinas Literacy Center that they require you to go through I would call it a very lightly rigorous process.
Mm-hmm. Because there is a training, right?
Yeah. So the training is basically a Saturday. Take 6 hours out of your time to learn the materials, understand what they're really after and what we're trying to do with the folks who come. It's not a big lift. And that is honestly the easiest part about it. Mm-hmm. But the most important part for new tutors is that they can commit to a long-term relationship with the center. Mm, they don't want people who are just in and out for fun or to get a recommendation letter. They want people who are actually invested every week in the life of one single person on a very deep and meaningful level. I think that's extremely important.
Have you done any tutoring yet?
Almost.
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 Oh, that sounds like there's a story there.
Right. So Tom was scheduled to tutor last Thursday night, and unfortunately there were reports of ICE agents at our local Target.
Oh, geez.
And we experienced four learners not show up for class. And so that's something that we've been experiencing, that people are staying home, they're going to work, they're taking their children to school, they're doing the bare minimum of leaving their houses. So coming to English is not, may not be a priority for them. And we certainly understand being safe and keeping your family safe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's more of a priority than they realize. But obviously when you're faced right. with get arrested by ICE or learn, right. perfect my English, I think I know what these folks are going to choose. But Tom, you were the tutor scheduled to help some of these folks. I mean, what was that like for you in that moment? And what did it make you feel?
There's no question that the thought crossed my mind after about 10 minutes. And that's not very fun because you have to momentarily put yourself in someone's shoes you could never actually step into, at least for me. It's really hard to me to imagine what it's like for someone to be pulled off the street, cornered, regardless of any political affiliation or convictions you may have.
Yeah.
That's just completely destructive. And for me, being a person who was sitting there waiting for someone to not just, you know, most of the students are not perfecting language, just so we clear that up. Most of these folks have no prior experience in English whatsoever.
You're starting from the very beginning.
Yeah. Correct. And so assimilation is this big, big giant. And it takes a massive amount of work. 90% of the work for these folks is not showing up. 90% of the work is showing up to make it meaningful in their lives. That was gone. So I'm just sitting there for 30 minutes wondering, did I lose a person, an entire human I could have invested some time in? That's what went through my mind.
Peter, as someone who has tutored, you've been doing it for several years. I mean, what is it like working with these English learners one-on-one?
It's so rewarding. I mean, 13 years of teaching in a classroom, elementary, middle, and high school, it's it's nothing compared to what I tutor at Aquinas. It's so rewarding to see their progress, to see them leap for joy when they pass a test, a unit test, or a unit review. Being able to read out of a book without making mistakes, it's so rewarding. Mm. And it's really, it's almost like a vocation than a job for me. And I think that for me is the best thing I can do as a grandson of a Chinese immigrant from China. I understood that struggle of not being able to speak English, not being able to assimilate in an American culture with the nuances. So to hear my grandmother speak in English, and learn English was quite remarkable. Mm. So when you think about that.
Any experiences, Allison, or stories that you can think of when it comes to some of your English learners at Aquinas that maybe still stick with you today, or just stories you've heard through your tutors?
Sure. I mean, I always think about there's one woman, an older woman, and she came in and she said, "Everyone around me at work gets promoted." She's been in the country about longer, not a newly arrived immigrant, someone who's been in the country for about 20 years. She goes, "Everyone around me gets promoted." And then I thought, why am I not getting promoted at work? And it's because she didn't have English. And so her goal was to learn English because it was her time to get promoted, to earn more money, to feel more satisfied in her employment. And so that piece is really important because she's been in the United States and she's watching how things work around her. And then finally, okay, this is what I need to do and this is what I'm going to commit. Mm-hmm. But we see it every day. We see our learners coming and saying, for the first time, I didn't have to pull my child from school to come and be an interpreter in my doctor's appointment. I could finally go to a doctor's appointment by myself. I don't have to have an interpreter. I don't have to have my child there. And so that's really important. Becoming a U.S. citizen. I mean, it's in this day and age, being a U.S. citizen, for our learners is really what they want. They mm-hmm. want to learn the language. They want to learn American culture. They want to become U.S. citizens.
And there are so many steps to get there that are
so
complicated.
Complicated.
Each step in its own is complicated. Mm-hmm. There's so much paperwork to rifle through. Yes, hopefully you can get yourself an attorney that can, help you with some of these things, and hopefully an attorney who can speak your native language and help you through. But I think of just what gold it would be to strike if you can actually kind of decipher these forms for yourself, make decisions for yourself, and just how empowering that must be. Right, Tom?
There's no question. Most of my friends growing up sit on the right side of the aisle, and they were always talking about how easy it is to just follow the process. That couldn't be more incorrect. We have bureaucratized this immigration question to a point where it's very inaccessible to people who have excellent language skills, let alone people who are completely new.
Allison, you still need more tutors?
Absolutely. our next tutor training is scheduled for Saturday, November 1st. We would encourage you to get in contact with us at Aquinas Literacy Center. We will provide all the information. We'll make sure that this is a positive, satisfying volunteer experience for you. And really, we're looking for people who we can entrust with working with our learners.
Mm-hmm. And I can't wait for you to get your first student, Tom.
Tuesday night. Thank you very much.
Something tells me you're going to be great.
Thank you.
We'll leave it there. We've been talking with Peter Harley, who's an English tutor at Aquinas Literacy Center, Tom Dankers, who's a newly graduated English tutor and executive director of the center, Allison Altmaier. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. Okay, now let's get to the news of the day. I spoke with WBEZ Morning Edition anchor Claire Lane and WBEZ Race, Class, and Communities reporter Esther Yoon-Ji Kang. We, of course, started with the big news, the government shutdown.
Yeah, so the standstill contest sort of continues. As we know, this is day two, the second day, with no clear end in sight after Congress failed to approve any bill to prevent federal funds from running out. So there was a short-term Republican plan to reopen the government yesterday. It fell about five votes short of the necessary 60 needed to pass. Dems essentially still want the GOP to add money to extend health care subsidies, which are set to expire at the end of the year. They don't want to see people's insurance rates rise, but the Republicans don't seem willing to negotiate on that. Both chambers of Congress are now out of session today. This is an observance of Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. The Senate expected to be back in session tomorrow, but the House of Representatives will not return from its ongoing recess until next week. The Office of Management and Budget Director says it's working to carry out what the Trump administration is calling, quote, the good that can come from a shutdown, likely meaning layoffs, more furloughs.
Of course it does.
Ellipsis.
Yeah. Esther, speaking of layoffs and furloughs, you spoke with federal workers here. Tell us their reaction and who you talked with.
Yeah, I connected with several federal workers and union leaders with varied situations. So, for example, a TSA officer who is working without pay, the head of the local union for EPA workers here, somebody who oversees federal buildings in Chicago. And my colleagues at the Sun-Times also spoke to some ICE agents at Broadview who also continue to work without pay. I think the biggest overarching worry is about how long this will go on and, you know, how long people can hang without getting their paychecks. And so that's sort of the biggest reaction. Some folks at the EPA can keep working for a few days until they eventually will be furloughed. And you know, the TSA union head, the local union head, he was really worried for the younger officers. He himself is a little more experienced, but the younger ones don't have financial security. And they really—
So he's been through a couple of shutdowns over the years, right?
Yes, absolutely. He was through, he went through the last one, of course. And you know, the younger officers, he said, are coming to the union about childcare costs, transportation costs. Mm-hmm. These are the sort of tangible things that people are worried about in the next however many weeks.
Yeah, as you said, you know, at the height of this, varying situations, you mentioned the EPA employees that still have enough funding available to keep them exempt for now. Similar situation for the court employees at Dirksen Federal Courthouse. They're reporting to work during the shutdown. It sounds like there's enough money to pay them until about the 17th of October, but who knows what happens after that. Claire, a group of students visiting Springfield, they got an unpleasant surprise thanks to the shutdown.
Yes, like so many facilities at national parks all over the country, the Abraham Lincoln Home in Springfield is also closed. This is the home where Lincoln lived before moving to D.C. and used to offer tours to the public. Many of us who grew up in the Chicagoland area, you know, this is sort of the historic field trip many of us would go on. And this is what groups were trying to do this week. But if you go there, it's closed. There are some other facilities on site, like a military museum you can go to, but tourists have had to change their plans, telling WBEZ they were notified of the facility, the museum not being open until the day that they were leaving. So it's just causing a lot of confusion. And when you go to the website of the Lincoln Museum, there's just a reference to the federal government being shut down, and that's sort of it.
That's it. Yeah. It's similar thing, it looks like, happened over in D.C. I'm not sure if any of you saw the story, but there was apparently a class from the Bronx that had a trip plan to the Capitol for a tour, and AOC happened to be in the building. She was like, I'll give you a tour anyway. And so they, you know, the luckiest kids, and it's all over TikTok. And, you know,
yeah, we talked to a teacher from Huntley. He said the same thing. You know, I've done enough of these tours where I can sort of tell them what's going on.
I've been in the building a few times. Gang, I want to pivot to the latest on immigration, right? Because our colleagues, Adriana Cardona Magigad and Lauren Fitzpatrick, they've done some incredible reporting. It's in the paper today. They pulled back the curtain on what's going on inside the Broadview processing facility. And guess what? It's not good. I'm going to dig into some of the findings here. They talked with former detainees who described sleeping on crowded cold floors or plastic chairs, eating sandwiches, and sometimes they got water to wash it down. Using a toilet that's just out in the open, sometimes women would have to sort of line up together and sort of join hands to block the view. No soap, no toothpaste, just, quote, gross and extremely dirty. Guards are being consistently told that they're at full capacity, but they just keep bringing more folks inside. And, you know, it's the biggest finding, I think, in this piece is that, you know, Broadview was never designed right. to do this. It was never designed to be a detention facility, but the Trump administration is now using it as a de facto one. It was more intended to be like a processing center. You come in for your immigration, you know, paperwork gathering, and you're held for maybe up to 12 hours, but we're seeing people held for 2-3 or more days. So Esther and Claire, you know, as this is uncovered, we're hearing one thing from these folks who have been inside and seen inside. On the other hand, ICE, you know, in a very quick response is basically saying that's not the case. What does it look like to you, Esther?
Well, I've been inside the building. A lot of coverage now is kind of outside the building. But, you know, several years ago during the first wave of immigration, you know, deportations, in 2019, I covered a deportation. I went inside the building. I'm telling you that building is not designed for for what these
for 143 people sleeping there for days upon days upon days.
Absolutely, and it's just that, you know, they're also being held longer, and you know, these people are being held longer than they're supposed to be, and so I think it's just it just shows you sort of the lack of preparation and thought by the administration and keeping folks at this center.
Yeah, I think the amount of time that people are being detained is seemingly very lengthy and still very confusing. We might remember Chicago area journalist, so Steve Held, over the weekend, a reporter who was outside of the facility that ended up being detained for several hours before being released. And he told WBEZ the scene was, you know, lots of people sort of with their hands on glass, looking to him just as confused, sort of, can you help me kind of thing, which is, you know, not what you would expect of an office facility or a processing facility.
Absolutely. And Esther, I know your reporting takes you to neighborhoods often. You saw our story here. Great reporting here on a South Shore raid, a massive raid at 7500 South Shore Drive. Basically, armed federal agents in military fatigue showed up, you know, 1 a.m. or so on Tuesday morning, busting down doors overnight, pulling men, women, and children from their apartments, some of them naked, and residents, you know, just being accosted. They're approached, you know, and they approached and entered nearly every apartment in the five-story building, I'm hearing, and just kind of tossing things into the hallways. U.S. citizens, again, among those detained for hours. Your thoughts? It just feels very chaotic across the city right now.
I think that's by design. You know, I think we're trying to be, I think the goal is to desensitize people to say, hey, you know what, just there's another raid in this neighborhood. I think that is by design. And I think we have to, we got to speak out and we have to say, oh, this is unusual.
Yeah.
We have to ask questions. Why are they taking regular people without proof and for no reason?
Men, women, and children overnight, naked, not a good situation at all. Claire, what else are you watching right now?
Well, if you want to just shift gears a bit to sports in Chicago, we are watching the North Side this afternoon again. Cubs back at Wrigley.
Are they going to do it this time,
Claire? We don't
know.
They won the first game. This was on Tuesday against the Padres, but the Padres came back, shut them out yesterday, 3-0. So now this National League wildcard series heading to a decisive game 3. Cubs hitting could be better. Padres pitching is very strong. Mm-hmm. It's the finale this afternoon at 4:08. It's interesting, too, because back in 2020, that was the last time the Cubs were in the playoffs, but also the Padres were in 2020, and they dropped the first game and ended up winning the second two. So they're hoping that they can do the same thing
a
they
repeat.
Did 5 years ago. Cubs
That'd
fans
cool.
are saying, nah. So we'll see. We'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah, well, let's keep our fingers crossed. And before I let you go, Esther, if the government shutdown ends up being a long one, 10 days, 20 days or more, what else are you keeping an eye on?
I think we'll start seeing some effects, you know, at airports. A lot of folks cannot keep working without their paycheck. And so the union had told me that there will be some leaving of experienced workers. And so that will mean longer lines. And so you'll see that tangibly. The courts will have backlog, delays, lawyers who are not working, and people who are detained longer. And so it will just impact the immigration system as well.
Yeah. Well, WBEZ Morning Edition anchor Claire Lane and Esther Yoon-Ji Kang, who's a reporter on WBEZ's Race, Class, and Communities desk. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, for more on the shutdown's potential impact on the Chicago area, also that South Shore raid story I mentioned, that was great reporting from Cindy Hernandez from the Sun-Times. Go to our websites, WBEZ.org and suntimes.com.
This episode of In the Loop was produced by me, Micah Yason. Sasha Ann Simons is our host. If you like what you heard, we hope you'll join us for more. We drop a new episode about Chicago news and culture every weekday afternoon, including our weekly news recap on Fridays, and once a month, Ask the Mayor. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.